From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency. Welcome to Update One. I'm Mike Hempen, a co-chair of the Broadcast Podcast Committee here at the National Press Club. Longtime listeners of Update One will know that we often like to highlight press freedom issues or the lack of press freedom in various countries around the world. And that's the focus of this edition of Update One. Our guest is Juan Lorenzo Holman, an exiled journalist from Nicaragua who hopes to one day return to Nicaragua. He has quite a story to tell. Juan, welcome to Update One.
Thank you for the invitation, and I'm glad to be here at the National Press Club and Update One. Thank you, Mike.
You have quite a story. You're living in the Washington, D.C. area. You're hoping to return one day to Nicaragua. You were general manager, you still are, of La Prensa, a paper founded by your grandfather in 1926. If you can talk a little bit about that paper.
I am the second generation in the newspaper. The newspaper has been a very prolific and important newspaper in the history of Nicaragua. The paper motto, let's say, is at the service of truth and justice and democracy. So we've been fighting against these dictatorships or authoritarian regimes through 98 years now.
And when did you start working there?
I was part of the board of directors, started in 2011, then was appointed general manager in 2019, the end of 19, beginning of 2020.
So the newspaper is publishing a print edition. You also had an online presence, and you were doing well up until 2018, and that's when you wound up running into problems with the Ortega regime. What happened then?
Well, the problems didn't start in 2018. The problems start when Ortega got into power in 2007. He said that the press was the enemy. We were part of the group of enemies, he calls. In 2018, there was an uprising, social uprising. There were a bunch of demands for him to step up power. So, as I said, since the media, the independent media, is the enemy, then he went front to the independent media. So he started harassing the independent media, and one of them was La Prensa. So he did costume embargo, on import embargo on all our supplies to print the newspaper.
The regime essentially raided your newsroom.
Well, that was the final step that they did. They, in 2021, in August 2021, after arresting all the candidates for the presidential elections, he raided La Prensa and took me into custody. That was in the 14th of August of 2021. And he kept me for 545 days hostage, I would say.
And you mentioned earlier when Ortega's regime took over in 2007, they came right out against the press. What were you and your paper charged with?
In 2007, they started the harassment and the fight against independent media. In 2021, when they got me and they raided our facilities, they didn't charge La Prensa of anything. They charged me of laundering money, which is something that I completely denied. Then in 2022, in March, I was sentenced to 9 years and a fine of $3 million and confiscation of all my assets.
Did you have a trial, a formal trial?
A formal trial, no. I mean, from August 2021 that I was caught until March 2022, that was the trial, I didn't get to see my lawyer. It was a complete disaster. I call it a circus. And during the trial, I said, this is a circus. And I am being trialed because of my family name, not because I did something against the Nicaraguan people or the society.
So you were forced into exile in July of 2022. What happened at that time?
Well, for me, it's a miracle. February the 9th, they put us on an airplane and send us to the United States. There were 222 political prisoners, that's how they call them, political prisoners in that plane. There were politicians, there were journalists, there were a bunch of people that were sent to the United States in exile. And they took our Nicaraguan nationality so we are stateless.
Yeah, you've lost your citizenship. You basically right now have no connection to Nicaragua.
I lost everything that is physical, I will say, but I didn't lose my family or in the sense, you know, when you are trial because you did something wrong to society, people turn their heads away from you, you know, or the support. But in my case, I got the support of all my family, all my friends. People are afraid of showing that love to us because they are afraid that the government might come after them, which they will.
So you're sent to the U.S. How did you wind up in the D.C. area?
Well, the airplane was sent to Dulles Airport, and my wife's sister lives here in Virginia. And my oldest daughter was living at that moment here, studying. And so I end up here. Lucky me that the plane landed in Dulles and that I have family here. Then I decided to remain here because of my job, because of my intention to do free press and free speech advocacy. So I think that the right place to be is D.C. So that's why I remain here. My wife joined me about 2 or 3 months after that. In April last year, she came. But she was refused to be able to go back into Nicaragua. So she is also stateless. And now we are in the process of an application for asylum.
You hope to return to Nicaragua at some point in time.
Definitely. I mean, I am not the first one in my family that's been exiled because of harassment from the government. Actually, this is my second exile. I had the first exile in the 1980s. When the Sandinista revolution was in power, Daniel Ortega has forced me to exile twice in my life. The first one I returned, so I hope God provide that I am going to go back and rebuild that, help to rebuild that society that's been so hit by this authoritarian and dictatorship.
I know you mentioned you were imprisoned for 545 days. How did you remain hopeful during that time?
I drove my car to prison because they said you're going to go there and sign some documents and then we're going to release. And when I got there, they kept me. So when I was driving, I was praying the rosary. And I pray to the Virgin Mary and Jesus. I said, you know, I put this in your hands. Whatever they are going to put me through, I am going to let you guide me and support me. And they did. So prayer, a lot of prayer. They never hit me, actually. All was psychological and emotional torture. And one of the things I used to say is, okay, if I accept the torture, it is torture. But if I don't accept, it won't be torture. It will be a fail from them. And I used to sometimes even make fun of them in order to overcome that emotional harassment, I would say, or torture.
The paper continues to produce in digital form, not in print, but in digital. How are the current operations right now?
We started a web page in 2002. So we were in the web since 2002. We were digital, but we were in, also printed, like most of the newspapers in the world. We were, at that moment, a newspaper with 400 workers. Now we are 47. Out of the 400 workers, there were 120 journalists in the newsroom. Now we are 17. We still produce a newspaper with all the sections. I mean, we have sports, we have politics, we have economic. So that's a very tough thing to do. The most important part here is that the team that we have is a team that is well into it. So there are people that are putting all the efforts into this. In order to sustain the newspaper, we have a paywall. Then we have some advertising in programmatics, because in Nicaragua nobody wants to advertise in La Prensa because the government will go after them. And the rest, we cover it with help from friends and grants and things like that. But that shortage is declining with the efforts we have, but we still have need for people to help us sustain this fight against authoritarian regime and the dictatorship and pursuing the democracy back in Nicaragua.
Will it take new governmental leaders to reverse the situation regarding press freedom in Nicaragua? In other words, to actually honor press freedom and respect the press and leave it alone? Are you optimistic that will ever happen in Nicaragua?
Yeah. We don't see it only in Nicaragua. We are seeing it all over the world.
Absolutely.
So the fight for democracy is not something that you fight and then you go home. You have to be there all the time. You don't wake up in the morning and you get a dictator in power. It's something that is built. The media, the news media, is the counterbalance to that abuse of power. So media is important. And if media disappears, it's like if you turn off the lights here in this room and you go into complete darkness. In Nicaragua, we fight against the truth that the government is trying to sell. And we have to give the people the right truth, what is really happening. That's the way all over the world.
Are you optimistic at some point that situation will reverse itself in Nicaragua?
If I wasn't optimistic, I'll turn off the light and sit in a chair and see what happened. I am optimistic. I have always been an optimistic person. It's not the first time that I've been thrown to the floor, and it's not the first time that I stand up and fight and overcome difficult situations. And I think that the Nicaraguan people is going to overcome this situation, and we are going to reestablish democracy and a republic in Nicaragua.
What will that take, though, for that to occur?
It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It also takes integrity and ethics and morals and for the international community to understand what is happening in Nicaragua, and especially to the United States, that everything that is happening in Nicaragua right now is happening in the backyard of the United States.
Juan Lorenzo Holman, thanks for being on Update One.
Thank you for the invitation and have a great day.
Juan Lorenzo Holman, an exile journalist from Nicaragua, has been the guest on this edition of Update One. I'm Mike Hempen. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.